Hello and welcome back to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 81 and I am Melanie.
And I'm Juliana, and today we are talking all about our wants, needs, desires, and hopes for the Harry Potter TV show that is confirmed is coming to us from Max. Not HBO Max anymore. Max.
Okay.
Yeah. But that being said, welcome listeners. Welcome back, Mel. You weren't in our last episode because you were feeling a little under the weather, but we're happy to have you back.
Thank you. I am still recovering a little bit. Here and there, a cough. I try to edit out as much as I can. But this is just like going on since over a month already, and it's a very slow progress. But yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, and we're going to talk all about the Harry Potter TV show today.
Yes.
But before we get to that, let's head it over and throw it over to future Mel and Juliana in the news. Do-do-do-do-do-do! News!
People should see how you're always like shaking your shoulders while you do the do-do-do-do.
Oh yeah, it's for no one's amusement but yours and my own. Like, maybe at some point we'll record the video and share it to Patreon or something, but it's just so much extra work. But regardless, listeners, welcome to the news. We are here today reporting to you from the future with the news of today.
We're doing the same thing again, like in the last episode. Like,
yeah,
it's again recorded at a different time because we are catching up. And hello, I am having the flu again. I am just like...
Mel's stuck in a time warp.
A ping pong match with the flu. Ugh, I think I really need my vacation.
Yeah. Well, luckily, both of us are going on vacation soon. And speaking of vacations,
yes,
our first little bit of news that we have, friends, is that, again, just reminding you that I will be at LeakyCon. And this time we have some specifics as to when you can catch me doing some performances.
Woohoo!
Yes, thank you very much. Our main show that we'd like to invite you all to come to is on Friday at 2:30, and it's going to be on stage 2. That is the Order of the Improv interview panel that I am doing with Wally Hamad and James Payton. So it will be the three of us doing an interview about them starting and operating the Order of the Improv. And then I have three very silly improv games lined up for us to play. So look forward to that. And it will be definitely a really fun time. And the games are definitely ones that we can have some audience participation in as well. So we'd love to have you there to participate in that as well.
And you will actually, if you can't go there, hear this episode later, beginning of autumn, something like that, as a Puffcast episode. So look forward to that. Like me, I can't go.
Yeah, so we'll be doing that. And then if you'd like to come see me doing any other panels, I will also be on a podcast panel with our friend Danny, our friend Paula from the Creating Magic podcast. And then also the First Years Pod crew will be there. And that is at 3:45 on Friday. On Saturday, I will be one of the MCs for the kids costume show with none other than the Potter Kid himself. And that will be at 5 p.m. And then Sunday, you can join Jeff and I for a live recording of my other podcast, Into the Fold, at 1:15. So if you are coming to LeakyCon, definitely check our socials, check the socials of Into the Fold. And if you have any questions, you can always shoot us a DM and we can get you an information if you'd like to come to the panel with James and Wally. But we hope to see you there. And if you're someone who I haven't met yet, I would love to meet you because, as we know, I like to know the names and like faces of anyone who listens to this podcast. And I know there are more people out there than I've met that are listening to these podcasts. So I would like to meet you. Come and say hi. And I have stickers. And I also have some very fun ribbons that I made, because that's a thing that people exchange at LeakyCon. So if you'd like to get a really cool ribbon with a very funny joke on it, you should definitely come and find me.
Okay.
Okay, so in other news, friends, we had the release of Magic Awakened here in the US, which is something that Mel had already gotten over in Finland. Mm-hmm. The first and only thing that has ever come to Finland first. Groundbreaking. I'm liking it. I guess I'll just give my like very quick review of it. It's fun. I like the style. It moves very fast and it's slightly confusing.
It is so confusing. I mean, yeah. The way you, like, walk around in the game is just...
I don't like
it's
that.
It's not handy at all, and I would wish that they're still fixing that. Otherwise, the design is just... I think it's really unique and pretty. I really love it.
Yeah. I think the way that you battle people with the cards, I think it's fun. I just don't fully understand the mechanics of how I'm winning these battles, honestly. Like, I'm just kind of throwing cards out there, and it's like, you won! I'm like, really? I don't know what I did. So I'm just kind of, like, doing it blind, and there's a lot happening at once. You have, like, social clubs that you can join and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't even know where... Like, it took me, like, 4 or 5 times playing the game to even find the map, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, it's just... it's a lot.
Yeah.
But very pretty, though. Our next little piece of news is that, as they do every single year, we have a new chocolate frog card that's been released, which is very exciting.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. Last year, we actually got a herbologist, which was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we did not get a herbologist, but we got a children's author instead.
Oh, who is it?
It's Beatrix Bloxham, I believe is how you pronounce that name.
Oh, I think we have heard of...
So she is pictured holding a quill, and she's a children's author. And the card is now available only in the milk chocolate boxes, so not the dark chocolate one.
Okay.
Yeah. And it says that Beatrix Bloxham is renowned for her sense of sweetness that can be described as sickly. This author, who lived from 1794 to 1910, had somewhat high-minded ideas regarding children's literature. She even rewrote the content she found distasteful, such as the Tales of Beedle the Bard. So I believe we heard about her either in the Tales of Beedle the Bard or in reference to that in the books, where they were talking about, like, other wizards' children's books that had been, like, written and rewritten. And I think that's where we might have, because I remember hearing about that and how people were not happy with the Beedle the Bard stories and how, like, violent they were, and this was the woman who rewrote them to be, like, cheery and very kids appropriate. That might have been in the Beedle the Bard, like special edition book that had the notes in it from Dumbledore. I can't remember, honestly, but I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, so it's essentially a more child-friendly version, just like all the other fairy tales that we know.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Disney version.
When you actually hear the real stories of, for example, The Little Mermaid and so on, you will be like, okay, that's I see why they changed that.
Yeah, it's like Cinderella too, where, like, the end of the original Cinderella, her stepsisters cut off their toes so that way they can put their feet into the shoe.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
That's really nice. We like that. What a fun time.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's something that you can now find in the chocolate frogs in only the milk chocolate variety. So if anyone ends up getting that card, let us know. We'd love to see what it looks like. And then, Mel, would you like to take the next bit of news?
Of course. So Ivana Lynch is actually hosting a virtual event for this year's Harry Potter Book Day. It says Bloomsbury's Harry Potter Book Day, a day that celebrates the Harry Potter books with a series of events, parties, and festivities, is taking place on October 12th, and Harry Potter's own Ivana Lynch, who played Luna Lovegood, will be hosting a virtual event in partnership with Twinkle and Warner Brothers Studio Tour London. The theme of this year's Harry Potter Book Day is Magical Places, and it's exploring the many enchanting locations found within the wizarding world, from Hogsmeade to the Burrow to the Ministry of Magic. While this is the event's 9th annual celebration, this is the first year it will be celebrated as Harry Potter Book Day. It was previously known as Harry Potter Book Night. The event's organizers hope this change will make it more accessible for fans of all ages. Those wanting to take part can sign up online for an event kit, which is filled with ideas and activities that can be used for you to hold your own event. This kit can be utilized by all, including booksellers, schools, librarians, families, and fans. In the kit, you will find invitations, quizzes, word searches, coloring games, and ideas for decorating, cosplay, and food and drink.
Yeah.
I would love a kit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's free if you sign up. They, like, send you the little virtual kit that you can print off and stuff like that. The Harry Potter Book Night used to be something that they would hold at a lot of the stores, mostly in England, but there are a few places here in the US I know that they would do it. But I know that when they did that, there were a lot of kids who were like, I can't go because it's like 8 o'clock at night on school night.
Exactly. So now it's like a more appropriate time so that everyone can take part to, and it's not just limited to the evenings.
Yeah, and it's easier for teachers to kind of jump on the train, too, because they can just celebrate it during the day in their classrooms.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this sounds really nice. I'm really curious to see what these invitations and quizzes and everything looks like.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like a lot of fun.
It does. I would love to take part in this.
Yeah. The next piece of news we had is something that I just learned about, Mel, and I'm assuming you might not have even heard of because I was surprised that this was even happening, and I did not know this was a thing. It's a mystical, magical event that they will be holding, and it is a collaboration between Warner Brothers and Neon. They announced the Harry Potter Visions of Magic, a new immersive Wizarding World experience, will be coming to us soon. And like some of the other Harry Potter events we've had in the past, there's literally almost no information on it. And even if you hit the link that I provided in our show notes, Mel, you're really going to get nothing from that website. Except for the fact that you can sign up to be notified when there's more information.
Yeah.
So
a little while ago, they have made the first post about it. And I saw the animation and that there's something coming. Yeah. And I was at the webpage as well. And it hasn't changed anything, I guess, yet.
Yeah, nothing has really changed. So what we have for information now, it says Harry Potter Visions of Magic is an interactive art experience inspired by both Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts series. The experience will feature immersive environments influenced by all the mysterious locations of the Wizarding World, including the Room of Requirement, the Ministry of Magic, and Newt's Menagerie. These environments will be filled with innovative technology, which literally means nothing, to bring them to life, with original soundscapes and responsive video content working together to create a multi-sensory experience. Technology will also allow guests to reveal hidden installations and illuminate the visions of magic the display is named after. The experience will be open with a European tour that will begin later this year, so it's going to come to Europe first.
Mm-hmm.
Dates and locations are yet to be announced, but you can join the waiting list and learn which cities the experience will visit before it's announced to the wider world. Those on the waiting list will also receive access to pre-sale tickets for the European dates. Tours across the globe will be announced once the experience has opened its doors to the world, premiering Europe. The dates and cities for future tours will also be announced, and those on the waiting list will learn this before others. Peter Van Roden, the Senior Vice President for Warner Brothers Digital Global Themed Entertainment, described the experience as a, quote, truly magical experience that puts the franchise on display like never before, and the art and technology have been masterfully harnessed, end quote, to create a new display.
It seems to be maybe the theme of the year that, as we just talked about, the Harry Potter Book Day will also be all about magical places. So is this.
Yeah.
So this is the year's theme, maybe?
Possibly.
Who knows? Maybe you are really going to be excited to take part to this. It could be pretty much anything, yes.
Yeah, it literally could be anything.
The graphic, at least, is really pretty.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's playing a lot with, like, you come into a room and there will be lots of visual things happening, just like we know from the studio tour when you come into Gringotts and you see all the smoke coming up and the dragon coming towards you, that kind of stuff, which is quite fun to watch. And maybe some interactive things with wands and brooms.
Yeah. I think it has the potential to be, like, really fun.
Join the wait list, people, and find out later.
Yeah, we'll find out what's going on later. So, but that's all we have for the news for today.
Yeah.
But we do have some feedback from our listeners in regards to episode 79. And Mel, why don't you start us off with our first question that we asked our listeners?
Yeah, so in that episode, we asked ourselves many questions and we threw them at you online and you gave us some answers. So the first one we asked you was, what if Voldemort kills Harry in the graveyard and Cedric lives? Hallie wrote, well, then they would be one Horcrux closer to killing Voldemort, I guess.
Yeah, valid.
And Parth gave us still a thinker here. He says, it won't happen. Wormtail is in life debt to Harry, which I actually did not remember to think of.
So, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so he won't be able to kill him. However, it might be possible that if he attempts to kill, he might damage the Horcrux. If that happens and somehow Harry got back, there might not be a mind connection with Voldy. So you see, the what-if scenario is getting much worse. Arthur dies, Harry won't get to save Sirius, Sirius lives, and he won't know that Voldemort is looking for the Elder Wand at the end.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I completely forgot that Wormtail was having this kind of connection with Harry, so very good thinking, Parth. And yeah, I always feel like when we have these what-if questions, and we try to answer them, it throws even more what-ifs at us and more questions.
Yeah.
So we could probably jump right back into it and discuss it for another hour, but this is only the feedback right now.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have another look at this at some point for another episode.
Yeah. And if any of the listeners have any other what-if questions that they think we should address in other episodes, definitely let us know those too, because we're always looking for those.
Yeah, those are always fun.
So our next question we ask, what if Snape refuses to kill Dumbledore? And Christy says, Snape would have died and then he wouldn't have been able to continue being a double agent. I think without Snape, Voldemort would have won. And that's a really good point as well, too. Because we lose that connection between Voldemort and, like, the good side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think Snape, more or less towards the end of the books, works like a soothing blanket for Voldemort, being like, no, it's fine. I got it, dude. Like, I got it. So that way he doesn't go after certain people, like Harry or other people, quite as horribly as he might have if not. So it's a good point.
Yeah, I do think that Snape has a very important key role here. And I'm sure if we wouldn't have Snape, I'm sure Dumbledore would have found some other ways to get some information, but maybe not as quick, maybe not as easy, not as cleverly close to Voldemort as we do have with Snape, because he trusts him so much.
Mm-hmm.
If you can call that trust, what Voldemort gives, but...
Yeah. I don't know if it's called trust or more or less just greed for information, greed for power.
Okay, so we had one last question, and it was, what if Harry learns the truth about Snape in book one? And Eric said, if he learns that, he would have to learn the truth about himself and his place in the story, which I'm guessing would mess up becoming the Master of Death, the Hallows, which probably means a much shorter series.
I definitely agree that the series would be a lot shorter if Harry's given a lot of information up front and Dumbledore doesn't string him along for 7 years.
Yeah, I always had the feeling also that Dumbledore isn't 100% sure about all the details, and he just learns more and more throughout the years being close to Harry also and seeing what is happening and how this connection between Harry and Voldemort exists, and having kind of confirmed bit by bit that Harry is a Horcrux and so on. So
yeah,
he doesn't know all of the things yet either.
That's true. It is a learning process for Dumbledore as well, too. Mm-hmm. So gotta take that into account as well.
Yeah. But of course, this series has to be longer. So otherwise it would have been just one book. And
But okay, well, that wraps up our feedback from our listeners and our news. So do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Let's send you guys back into the episode where we're going to talk about the impending Harry Potter TV show and what our hot takes on it are. So we send you back to the past. Was that a sound effect? Or is that you?
That was me.
Oh.
Because you said hot takes, you know.
Yeah, we had a lot of hot takes. Spashy. Okay, welcome back, listeners. This episode, friends, is about the Harry Potter TV show, which is something that has come with quite a little bit of controversy in many directions. Those of, like, political sense, and those of, like, I just want this in this show, I want that in that show. People have had opinions. So we are here today to discuss some of said opinions and discuss, like, what would we like to see in the show, what we know about the show, any sticking points that we have with either positive or negative things that we are hoping to get from the show itself. As of right now, recording in the 223rd year of our Lord Voldemort, on the day of June the 25th, we know that, one, praise Lord Voldemort for Voldemort and Valor, and two, also...
I don't endorse this, no.
As someone who's a big Cursed Child fan, like, for Voldemort and Valor all freaking day, I love them.
Juliana, a serious word right now.
Yeah.
We are a friendly Hufflepuff-led podcast.
Yes.
How can you worship Voldemort on here?
I just do.
Doesn't go with what we are standing for.
I just think it's funny.
After 3 years, it's done. This is where we are going.
Yes. The year of our great Lord Voldemort, 2023.
Oh my god.
The good thing is it's just this 1 year. Next year we can name the year after someone else. We can name it after, like, Hagrid or something. Or Newt.
Okay.
But Voldemort has this year. But that being said, Today, as we know it, there has been a few stories out in the news about this show. The main things to note are that this show will be coming out on Max, which is HBO Max's new streaming service. It will kind of be their like keynote show going forward from what they've framed it as. And we do not have a date as to when this will be premiering. We know that this is going to be at least 7 seasons long, 1 season for each of the years Harry has been at school. And it will be a retelling of the Harry Potter novels as we know them. So hopefully a more in-depth version of what we saw in the movies. And there will be no fully original storyline created. It is said to following the book storyline. I know there were a lot of people who were very upset about this and mad that we're not getting a new storyline, but there are also people who are very excited that we are getting a more in-depth version of the original storyline so we can see some of those moments that a lot of us, I remember specifically seeing movie 4 and coming out of the theater and being like, where was Winky? All those things that we know as Harry Potter fans, can't believe they cut this out. This gives us the opportunity to see them, things like Peeves, the Death Day party that I really would like to see, and anyone who's not read the books but only seen the movies would never even check that they weren't there. But us as book readers, we are like very much so, why did they not show us those things? I think that's one of the positive things about this choice to follow the original books instead of creating a new storyline. I mean, Mel, how do you feel about the fact that they aren't going to be creating like a fully new storyline? That doesn't mean that they're not going to be creating little side character storylines and things that are happening around the main storyline. Like we might get like a whole episode from Cedric's point of view, a whole episode from McGonagall's point of view, where it's still following the Harry Potter storyline, but it's not word for word from the books exactly what happened. Like, how do you feel about this? It's not just a third person view of Harry specifically. It's an overarching Hogwarts view of everything that's happening around the storyline.
I am pretty much going back and forth between the things of camp, I want an original new story, or I want the exact retelling of the stories that we love so dearly, and they can fix all these things that are missing, as you already said, in the movies that we have so far, and go into way more detail with this if they give a whole season to, like, every book gets their own season, which sounds great to me. I think it will have good and bad things, for sure, and you can never make everyone perfectly happy with whatever you do. Mm-hmm. I could possibly imagine that they're trying this out now. Mm-hmm. There has been talk about creating a TV show for so many years. Now they're finally doing it.
Yeah.
Sticking to the original stories is probably a little bit safe, but maybe they want to just see first, how does that even work? And after they finish that, and maybe it is, if it's running really good, they might consider actually coming up with a whole new story and create that afterwards. That would be really lovely, and I think everyone would be very excited about that.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to the Shadow and Bone series that came out on Netflix, because obviously those were books first, and they are now a TV show. How much they've deviated from the source material, we really don't know exactly what this TV show is going to look like. And if I think about Shadow and Bone, it does follow the original storyline, but it is also at the exact same time very different from the storyline of the original. So you can still follow a storyline almost to a T, but make it so the experience and the actual overarching product that you're producing is actually very different from the actual source material. So, I mean, they definitely could play within the whole field of this is the Harry Potter storyline. It more or less comes down to the fact of how much do we want to follow the books word for word, only make that the storyline of what's happening, or do we want to take the storyline and build other character storylines in it and around it, which I think would honestly be the smart idea.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly where we could put in those side characters.
Yeah.
That they could take all the ones that we already know, since we are in the books following Harry.
Yeah, just Harry.
For many characters that are side characters, we don't see what they are doing all the time. That's where they would actually have freedom to come up with stories. Like, what is Dobby doing all this time when he's not bugging Harry? What is he doing in the kitchen? How is he like jumping back and forth between Malfoy Manor when we get to know him and try to prevent Harry from actually getting to school? These things.
Yeah.
So there are these small things that could be added in and could make it actually really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a few scenarios. Like one, getting like maybe like a Quirrell backstory in there would be really interesting. Like Draco, what's happening to Draco in book 5? Like, his whole turmoil about having to kill Dumbledore, that whole thing, like getting that backstory from his point of view and not just kind of getting it more or less through Dumbledore's telling. And Ginny in all of book two, like, be great to get like a whole like Ginny spinoff in season two, figure out what's going on.
I really hope we get the poem from her.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even bringing her back into like when her and Harry are in a relationship, like later in the series, that just kind of, to me, in my head, especially in the movie, not as much in the books, but still in the books, like that relationship just kind of like happens and you're like, but how did it build up? You want to see more of that. I'd love to see like Fred and George just causing trouble around the castle like a couple days.
I can almost not even imagine that they wouldn't do such a thing. Because you are delivering the source material, the original storyline, of course, but you have to bring something so that it sticks, you know, that people are interested to keep watching, because you know already what happens in the books. Of course, it's nice to see it on screen, and also there will be a completely new cast for all of it, but to really grab everyone's attention, that is the way to go, because they can then show things that we might not expect, because they can like come up with a couple of new things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's gonna be like really gripping and interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think too, the character portrayal is really important, and it's gonna be very interesting to me what version of these characters we see on the screen. Because as we know, the characters from the movies are aged up quite a lot for the professors.
Yes.
That's something that definitely plays into the dynamic, I would say, of having them be actually like as they were older people in the movies, as opposed to having them being cast as like 25-year-olds, like 30-year-old professors, people who are just like fresh out of wizard college, getting their little wizard degrees or whatever, so they can teach potions and stuff like that. And also, I can think of distinctly two characters where the book version has some pretty significant differentiation, well, maybe like three. First would be Snape.
Yes.
His characterization by Alan Rickman is great. We love it. But very, very different than how he is portrayed in the book. So it'd be interesting to see, one, if they portray him as a actual child abuser, as he is, and how people react to that. Because book Snape is mean. And Alan Rickman version of Snape is mean, but not to the level that book Snape is.
Yeah.
Also with Ginny, Ginny is kind of like dulled down to a nothing character in the movies.
Yes.
It'd be great to see a couple full episodes, like just from her perspective. Let her shine. And then the third person who's popping out my head is Dumbledore with the whole, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire, Harry? Moment where...
they can fix it.
Yeah. There were a lot of like character choices that were made by that actor that are not actually in line with the way that book Dumbledore actually acts.
You can also see the difference between the actors themselves, even if they have the exact same text in front of them. Everyone will portray these things differently. And that's where I was immediately thinking of the stage play of Cursed Child, where you see maybe the cast here and someone plays Scorpius in that way. But if you go to a different city, a different country, wherever, and see him there played with the exact same text and everything, the way it translates through the actor playing this character can change the whole dynamic and the feel that you get about the person.
Yeah.
So I can imagine this also to be like hopefully playing into what you just said, that they can get more into what the original characters are described as, but also maybe just put their own little spin on it, because every person is also different who's like acting these characters. So it's going to be very interesting what the distinctions there are. If it's closer to the stories as we know the characters, or if it's yet again a whole new version, and how people gonna receive that? Ah, we are such a critical fandom, I think. So it's gonna be very...
Yeah, that's a whole nother ballgame right there. It's like, who's going to play these characters? And are we all going to, like, generally... No one's ever gonna please everyone. But are we all going to generally agree that, yes, this was a good casting choice? Because... I think to your point too, Mel, also like every actor comes with their own flavor that they bring to a role. I think one of the biggest things that's going to be a challenge for especially like us older Harry Potter fans is the fact that we grew up with Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint as these characters. And in my head forever and ever and ever, these three are the original Harry Potter and like all the merchandise that we have that has their faces on it, everything that we own that has their faces all over it. They are forever the Golden Trio, and it's hard to live up to that legacy. And I think that's part of the reason, like with Star Wars, they've done some of these weird, bizarre AI things where they're bringing back the original actor in like a weird, creepy way because they're like, this person is a legend. How can we replace them? And I feel like with where we stand in the Harry Potter universe, like some of these people are like legend status, honestly. And it's hard to come up and be like, okay, well, I guess I'm Harry Potter now.
There, I think that it plays very much into the hands of the newer generations of Harry Potter fans. For them, it will be very easy. They will be growing up with this probably. And for them, maybe those will be the original ones. And then they see the older movies and they're like, huh, this is strange.
Who are these old people?
But also, I think it is up to us as older fans or the first group of fans to make the distinction between the movies, the books, the TV show, and also the stage play. All of these are very different, and I am sure the TV show will differ very much from the vibe that we have with the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I believe that we are all able to adjust. So it will take us a little bit of time to get used to it. But I guarantee you, after a few episodes, you will be into it.
Oh, yeah.
And you will get used to these faces very quickly. And we all know that when we have watched this through, we will watch it again. Because that's just how we are. And by that time, we will be so used to these faces. If we will like them and the way they portray these characters remains to be seen, of course. We will definitely draw the comparisons to Luna, for example. I just love how Evie is playing Luna, and I can't imagine anyone else playing that character.
I mean, unless I get my best friend from high school, Lydia, like literally there is no one else I would want.
But I think we just have to stay open-minded about that, and then let us be surprised, and who knows, maybe I'm sure they will find people who will take this series, because every person who is hired for these characters now is very much aware of what this means and how huge this is.
Yeah.
And how many people will watch this and take this very serious. So I have confidence that they will try their very best, and I'm sure they will be good at it.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see what kind of direction this show goes in, because as we know from the movies, the more you get into the later stages of Harry Potter, the darker it gets, and the more like kind of creepy and like adult themed it gets. I will also note that HBO Max, and Max as they're going to call it, isn't really known for like fluffy, cute TV shows. It's known for like dark, kind of violent stuff. That being said, it is definitely going to start off more like kid-like as it does, but I'm kind of wondering what angle they're going to come at this from, because you could start off at a much like darker angle than they did in the original movies and kind of just carry that theme throughout, or they could do the thing where it gets from light to dark, which is my preference, but there is that option that they could start off just like having it be a more adult show. And you're right that this will be a lot of people's like first introduction to Harry Potter, but I feel like they are mostly catering to adult Harry Potter fans with this TV show.
Okay. That's interesting. I have never used HBO, so I have no idea.
Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones.
Okay. Yeah, that is a very interesting point.
Yeah.
I mean, if they stay really close to the books, then I would expect them to go not too dark. Maybe, because you definitely could. If you are reading these books as an adult, you will understand what certain things mean, and some of these moments are really dark.
I mean, you start off with a death. You start off with two murders.
But also things that are being done to a couple characters is just look at the whole thing that Voldemort's mom does to his father.
Yeah.
It's so next level awful. And explaining that in a way that it's not too aggressively into your face, because they will know that younger children will watch this.
Yeah.
I am sure that there will be really, from the beginning, a full trigger warning, like, this is really only for adults. But I think, as they probably want to make all the money possible, they will probably not go that dark so that everyone can watch it, you know? And they won't be setting a limit there, an age limit.
I mean, my brain keeps going back to, one, Game of Thrones, because that's something HBO Max has has one of its like flagship items that it holds out there.
Okay.
But also Stranger Things, because Stranger Things is something that from the start wasn't as dark as it ended up being at the end, but it was like still pretty dark at the beginning, but not to the point where like middle schoolers couldn't watch it. People like being eaten by plants and stuff like that, but it wasn't creepy, 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 nasty, nasty, nasty like it was to the last season that it is currently.
Yeah, that is really creepy.
But it's kind of the same, like, lighter to darker progression that could be followed for Harry Potter, more or less. Not to that, obviously, extreme that Stranger Things was, but just starting out from a point that is just, like, a little bit darker and a little bit more adult than it was in the original two movies, which are definitely, like, kids' movies. It's more or less creating less of a light to dark spectrum and more of, like, a medium light to dark spectrum and making it just like a little bit more adult from the starting point. Not inaccessible, but just like a little bit more adult from the starting point. Which I think if you're going to include stories like Quirrell's backstory, some of the other backstories of some of like the adult characters, it might automatically start leaning more adult and darker already, because Quirrell's backstory is kind of dark. Learning about some of Snape's back history, or like Dumbledore, learning about these adult characters' backstories, that by including them at a baseline might just make it a little bit more adult and just a little bit less fruity-tooty, woohoo, carnival fun time, like it is in the original first two movies. Not that there can't be those moments and Sorting Hat Ceremony and everything and making it like really bright and colorful in those moments.
Now I have a question for you. When they started making the movies, the books weren't even finished at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think if the books would have been finished and they would have had the knowledge of the entire story, that they would have started also from the beginning already a bit darker with the movies instead of very kid-like?
I think they would have, yeah. Because I think that luckily, as these movies took so long to put out, obviously because there were 8 movies, that the people who started with them as kids' movies grew up into the place where they could go see, like myself, like I was 11 when I started watching them, but then I was like 18 when I finished and went and saw the last movie. So that was fully appropriate and good for me as a 18-year-old. But not everyone followed that spectrum. There are a lot of people who, like you, Mel, came to it as adults. Your life wasn't following that spectrum. And so I think that if they knew that that was going to be the case, they might have started it off with a little bit less Christopher Columbus and a little bit more David Yates.
Okay.
But, I mean, listeners, let us know what you think about this, too, because this is definitely, one, something that we'd like to get feedback on, and two, something we legitimately have no further information from HBO Max to tell us either direction. They have literally put nothing out. But I think also, just because it's important, Mel, to these series and to, like, the fandom as a whole, is that a lot of people have chosen to not take part in the show at all.
Right.
They don't want to watch it, and that is because JKR, she has been very mean to a lot of different communities, including the transgender community and a lot of the LGBTQIA+ community that we know and love. And it is something that we kind of have to approach with a little bit of understanding and caution, because it's completely valid if you choose to not partake in this at all, because JK Rowling is tied into the making of this series.
Yes.
We do not know how much she's going to be involved. Obviously, the series itself is based off of the books that she wrote, and she has been listed, I believe, as a co-producer as part of this show. So if you're someone who has chosen to step away from everything JKR related and just indulge in fan-created content, you're more than welcome to stay with us here. We are not sponsored and will never be sponsored by Big Wizarding World or JKR, so this is a fully fan-created podcast, so we'd love to have you stick around here. I mean, find what feels right for you, because a lot of us have different experiences, different opinions, different feelings about how much we want to get involved directly with Wizarding World created content like this is. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this is received as a show, and I definitely feel like there's going to be some negative kickback from people who do not want any involvement with JKR, which again, that's completely valid. I would really prefer if she wasn't part of this TV show. It would just make things a little bit less controversial. They'd still be using her source material. How are you feeling, Mel?
You pretty much said it. So many of our friends have been very excited about this. Some other of our friends have also said that they definitely are not going to watch this. And either opinion is totally valid. So you, as Juliana already said now, make your choice. And if you don't want to watch it, there is so much more other great stuff out there. Fan-made videos and movies, for example. just go on YouTube, for example. You will definitely find some great stuff there if you have never discovered them.
Plenty of podcasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, podcasts too. And there's so much material for anyone and everyone out there that we will never get tired of. So you don't need to be part of every single thing. Or just find a way that, you know, makes you feel more comfortable that you are, for example, buying things used. So it's not going extra to a place that you don't want to support. So there's many ways to go about this.
Yeah, or you could steal someone else's HBO Max password so that way you're not paying for it.
Or you only have to listen to Puffcast, because I know that we are going to watch this and we will be discussing this stuff.
Yeah, you can live vicariously through us.
You can listen to it if you so choose to and live through that. And then you're still gonna find out if it's good, if it's not good, who's amazing, who's not.
And you can always Google image searching things and watching things on YouTube by independent creators.
Yeah, or just don't.
Yeah.
So it's totally, it should be fine for everyone to choose however they want to.
Mm-hmm.
We hear you all, we see you.
Yeah, and as being part of the Harry Potter like fandom created space, like we stand with everyone in the fandom.
Yes.
We are here for everyone. We love all of our LGBTQIA+ peeps. We love all our transgender peeps. So we're looking to give back to the community as we can and support things like LeakyCon or MistyCon that are actively giving back to the queer communities and are fully fan created. So if you'd like some more suggestions on how to get involved with more fan created content, please just hit us up. We can definitely direct you in the right direction for that.
Yes. And also, if you want to give us your opinion, for example, as to why you would not want to watch it, you can share that with us too.
Yeah.
We're always happy to hear all sides and every opinion.
Yeah. But I guess that kind of wraps up our discussion about the Harry Potter TV show. Do you have any final thoughts, feelings, random things you'd like to say, Mel?
You know, I think here and there in the past few weeks and months, since we have this news, we have peppered you guys already with some of our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like many of the things might be repeated. I actually still have a short recording of 15, 20 minutes or something with Parth.
Yeah.
After we are done with this recording, I will have another listen to it. I was planning to add that in. So Parth, it's a little treat for you. You are still reappearing in our episode. I will go through it a little bit and edit it to a certain level where we are, if we said something in this discussion, we are not repeating it in that short recording. But that was part of our episode with Parth, where we have been going off in the news about this.
We talked for way too long about it.
And I reserved it for this episode. So I will add that in here.
And feedback. What do we have in the feedback section, Mel?
We have gotten some feedback from our friends about the planned Harry Potter TV show, and I thought it would be nice to include the comments a little bit and also get Parth's reaction, because he is right here and he's already giving me an expression like he has something to say.
I think it'd be good to start off with Parth, because he is here and in the flesh and he's ready to rock and roll. So Parth, what is your reaction and feelings about the Harry Potter TV show?
Okay, this is really, really bad timing for the reboot, because I don't think it's that old, or maybe we are that old, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we really needed something else. I believe not the original series, like we need something else.
Mm.
Because the thing is, like when they make something remake, it's mostly like it's animated version and they make like a live action version like that. But here we already have a live action version and they're making a live action version again. It's kind of confusing because we have seen the cast grow up and we have been associated the characters with them most of the time. And it's gonna be a little bit difficult to digest that. But I still believe if there's like something less like the Marauders or something different, like the...
What would you have preferred?
I would really prefer founder stories or murderer story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be like, yeah. Or otherwise, if they are still not going for the live, please, like live action, please make animated one. Please.
Yeah, Juliana loves that too.
Yeah, I think that the kids that are playing these characters are going to age too quickly for a year-by-year TV show to the point where they might have to start replacing some of the actors as they go, which is kind of a bummer.
That might also depend on how long these episodes are, how many episodes there are per season, and so on. Because if you look at Stranger Things, for example, the kids are also very young. Of course, they're growing up too, but they still managed also throughout the time to keep them kind of
looking younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see them grow up a little bit, but...
Yeah, it's possible, but I think it's just... It's more challenging to find, to like kind of control the aging on children than it is to just find new voice actors.
That is true.
Because it doesn't matter what this person looks like. As long as their voice is reflective of the age of the character, that's really what matters.
True. Like, I'm going to miss Alan Rickman so much if I see a new Snape right now. It's like...
If it's not Adam Driver, I'm going to like...
I'm sure they're going to ask him, and I'm not sure if he would be willing to... step into those shoes of Alan Rickman. Just because he looks like him doesn't mean he will act the same way.
I think he could do it. He plays a good Kylo Ren. Yeah. He's pretty evil.
He's a good actor, but if he would feel really his way into Snape to portray him so that no one hates him, I think that's a huge responsibility.
I think I'm more of the camp of, like, I want Snape to be more book Snape when we get him in this TV series. I want him to be, like, more, like, outwardly abusive towards these children. So, like, people have an actual reason to, like, hate him, because I think he deserves it based off of book Snape, honestly.
Yes, true. I totally agree with it, because I can never forget Snape. Like, never, ever, ever. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, all the Snape lovers out there, but no.
We're in the same camp, Parth.
So pretty much all our friends who have given us comments have had something like you to say as well. And overall, I mentioned it shortly in our last episode. Overall, people are very excited about this. Most of you are wishing for a different story and not the exact same retelling again, where you can, of course, go into more detail and so on. But we have seen it. We love those characters that are the actors who are playing these characters. And it feels kind of too early to replace them. And how will you do that? But let's go a little bit into our friends' comments as well. Juliana, would you like to take David's?
Sure. So we have our lovely friend David of Crooked Wands. Go check him out on Instagram. David said, I'm cautiously optimistic. HBO has a good track record overall. I think that they understand what's at stake and will do the best they can to make the show as good as possible. Parentheses. As for the stories being the same as the books. And again, he's kind of on the same train as us, being optimistic about a few things, just kind of waiting till we get more information, more or less. And then what did Eric have to say, Mel?
So we are, as we always love to give a shout out to our one baker friend, Eric from Wood Thrush Wands. Go check him out too, please. He says that he's not into it at all. He's very bummed that this is not a new story. He'll probably watch it, but he is already disappointed.
Yeah.
Let's hope that it's gonna be enjoyable anyway, and then in the end we will sit there and love it.
Kayla, we had a nice back and forth between Kayla and Christy. Kayla said, I think a TV series would be a great way to tell the story. It's just disappointing that they're doing a reboot instead of giving us something new. And then what did Christy have to say, Mel?
So I'm Christy. Christy says, but on the other hand, they do reboots of a lot of popular movies. The average wait is about 20 to 25 years for a reboot, and the first movie of Harry Potter came out 22 years ago. Oh my god, that's so long ago. I had to reframe my thinking around it because it feels like it was just recently.
Yes, and then Kayla said back, the last movie was in 2011, so just 12 years ago, and they are still so relevant, especially with the theme parks and all the stories and stuff they have. I think that's why it feels so weird to me. It's like they're trying to bring something back that hasn't left. I mean, to that, I will also say, like, the newest Star Wars installments aren't that old, and they're doing, as you know, a lot of Star Wars content that's, like, TV shows and spin-offs and all this other stuff. I mean, The Mandalorian pretty much is, like, a cult following now at this point.
Oh, I love it.
I haven't seen the most recent season yet, but I'm getting around to it. I don't know. I feel like I'm misjudging time, and I'm kind of with Kayla in that I don't feel like I should be that old, and then I look back at the actual number crunching, and I'm like, oh, crap. I don't know. I don't think it's too early for a TV show. I think it might be too early for a full reboot, just for our preferences, you know? I'm like, they're going to have, because Daniel Radcliffe, like, literally is Harry Potter. Like, whether he likes it or not, like, he is Harry Potter. He like, looks like the original concept art for him. He just is Harry Potter to a T. But they're going to have someone else who comes in who they have the artistic liberty of doing whatever they want with this person. Plus, I'm really hoping, and this is, that they'll bring more diversity into the Harry Potter world. So, hopefully we will get, like, Black Hermione, because per Cursed Child, we can just bring that right on in. Just insert that in. And then, like, maybe bring, it, like, a lot more diversity ring through. But then I was looking at my Harry Potter stuff, and I was like, this is all gonna change.
I think Parth wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Yes, Parth.
It's the same thing, right? Like, when, like, I was going through what you guys were talking, but we are getting the Percy Jackson TV series right now, right? Like, it's gonna come out soon. I understand that, because the movies were so bad. Like, they were good as a standalone movie, but not as a book, right? So they can make a new one as a TV series. That's fine. That's fine. But the same thing as it is, like, I see Logan Lerman as a Percy Jackson, and Walker Scobell is, like, he's really good actor. Like, he's really, really, really good. But I can, like, that's still in my mind, like, that is somewhere, like, the Logan Lerman's Percy Jackson, same as, like, Daniel Radcliffe's Harry Potter, like that.
I'm so excited for the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get Danny DeVito as Mr. D. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, like, because for, like, coming generation, this is a new thing. They might not be able to see the old ones, right? Or they
might see the show before they see the movie.
Yeah. So not everyone has started the Harry Potter journey as it's coming out. Like for me, I started, like, when I was, like, 13, 14 years old, not like when I was 10 or 9. And first I have watched the movies, and then I have read the books. I didn't even know the book existed before I watched the after I watched the movies. So so that's a different thing. But, like, same, I watched the movies in Hindi, not in English, for sure. I cannot comprehend the English at that time.
Yeah.
It's also recent to me, because for me it's been just, like, 10 years. But it's been out for 20 years. So that, according to that time frame, it's better. Like, some of us, like, we go into the Harry Potter as older, as a teenager, or maybe in our 20s or 30s, who knows. But, like, for the coming generation, it's still new for them. And right now, the OTT platform, everything going for the TV series, it's best way to go for it, I believe. So,
yeah.
I love that you're saying that, because I have been saying exactly that to our friend Oreo. We had also a short discussion about this, and I actually also said, for the younger generation, for the kids now that are growing up, learning these stories now, for them it's probably much easier to delve into a TV show like this, because they have not seen the movies, possibly. And for them, there aren't so many memories and things attached to these characters and the faces that we know in the movies with these specific actors. For them, it's probably much easier. And it's like, yeah, that's Harry Potter for them now, you know? It's kind of weird to think that, but at some point we have to accept that this is going to happen anyway. And we all have been screaming for this TV show basically to happen, no matter what the form of it is. Whatever you do, everyone will be happy about it anyway. So I guess we just have to see what happens. And at some point we will just simply accept that this is the new generation. I think that for many of us also, it was weird when Cursed Child came out. And we saw their different actors portraying these characters. They all kind of are casted a certain type of people, but it's always still a little bit different. And I suppose in this TV show, it's going to be very similar to that, that they have a certain idea of what they're supposed to look like. And that's probably what they're looking for in these actors.
I think we also have to think, too, a lot of us have been screaming about how the movies did certain characters wrong. Like, in my head, I'm thinking specifically, like, Hermione. And, yeah, like, Hermione and Ginny, and how they're, like, book Ginny versus movie Ginny, and all the lines that they gave Ron that were actually Hermione's in the movie. So, yes. We fans are such hypocrites. We're like, I don't want the same story, but
but
they screwed up. Yeah, yeah, we want to redo.
You know, these stories are so precious to us, and everything that revolves around it, that the change and the possibility of something being very different from what is in our head is scaring us and we don't like it. But in the end, we will actually get used to it anyway and we will love it.
We're just cranky old people.
And as I keep continue talking with you guys here right now, I'm starting to warm up more to the idea of this TV show, to be honest.
I think you made a really good point too about like the cursed child and how the actors are different. Like, I'm kind of like questioning, am I going to accept the Harry Potter actors that they're going to bring into the TV show? But not for a second did I question the actors who were part of Cursed Child. And as you know, and listeners know, I love the actors from Cursed Child. I absolutely freaking love them.
They're so great.
I think I have to like think like, okay, I adopted the Cursed Child actors. They're stuck in my soul now for the rest of eternity.
You know why that might be? Because theater is a different platform than movie or TV. So there you are presented with no other choice than that. You know, you have to accept that every place has a different cast and different person playing this character.
Yeah, that's standard for theater shows, too.
It's kind of the nature of theater, you know?
Yeah.
So with a TV show and with movies, it has been so long in our mind. How many times have we watched these Harry Potter movies now?
Too many.
A billion. We can't count it anymore. So these characters are so, with all the merch and everything that we have, as you just said, that's what they are looking like. And all of that is going to actually change.
Yeah.
We are making this actually the main discussion of this episode. I will have to cut this down, but this is such a good talk that we are having, I think.
Yeah.
Jenna, I think we should at least read hers still, because she has had an idea of what it could possibly also look like.
Yeah, so let's round it up with a comment from Jenna, who said, I think they believe that Harry Potter fans only want the original series due to the way Fantastic Beasts flopped financially. Couldn't we just meet in the middle and do a series on the first Wizarding War? It has characters and stories from the books that we already know and love, but it's still ample for space and a new storyline, which I think is kind of similar to what Hogwarts Legacy did in a way.
Yeah.
They made it in a time frame where you could interact with people who would be descendants of the people coming, but they weren't tied to any specific storyline or canon plot that needed to happen because of the time frame they chose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can actually see why Dumbledore chose to wear robes afterwards instead of three-piece suit and pants.
Yeah, where he made the fashion choices. Probably the 70s, honestly.
True.
And now we are back.
We are back.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back, friends.
Any last thoughts from us? I think, me personally, I look forward to it, however it's going to turn out. I'm very curious to see what it is like, who is going to be cast for these.
Yeah.
I think we will be reporting on that definitely in the future as well. Whenever that is going to start, there will be so much to talk about, and I feel like that is really going to be fun. It's a little bit like throwing us back to when the books came out and the movies came out, you know, where you were excited to go and see it and then discuss it. Also with Fantastic Beasts, you and me loved Fantastic Beasts and discuss it in
way too long.
I don't know how many thousands of hours. You know us, guys. We love to go into every detail. So you are going to definitely get a lot of material from us about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm generally just excited. There is so many things I would love to see, which I'm sure we will still discuss in future episodes as well. So
yeah, this is not the end.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely not. Juliana, do you have any closing thoughts on this?
I would say in the year of the Great Lord Voldemort of 2023, I would like to say that I'm excited for this TV show, and I think that it's going to be very interesting to not only see the show, but see people's reactions as we go forward.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
And I hope that anyone who is not wanting to watch this, I hope you're not thinking any less of us for being actually excited about it and watching it. That doesn't mean we are not supporting you or not valuing your opinion on this. So we definitely are.
And to be honest, I'm probably going to steal someone else's HBO Max password to watch this. So don't feel bad about it from my side. I'm probably going to pirate it.
Is this even, like, I hope that this is gonna be like available for everyone at the same time. Otherwise, I'm just gonna freak out if I... And I don't even have it. I would have to...
I don't have HBO Max either. That's what I was gonna say. I'm gonna steal it from someone.
When the time comes, we will have a good chat about that probably too.
So if you have an extra HBO password that you'd like to share with me, you hit me up, you let me know. And I'll pay you with a nice warm smile and a frisky wink.
I'm not sure if it's so smart to say that live on air, Juliana.
It's fine.
They might come for you.
I think they have bigger I'm not monetarily worth anything to them right now, or really to anyone. Like, I'd barely have enough money, so it's not worth it. I'm not worth their time.
All right, we are coming to an end of this discussion. So thank you, Juliana. I think we had some nice thoughts there.
Yes. And so, Mel, for our game segment, I have a game that I brought with me.
I am so curious what you have in store there, because I have no idea.
This is a Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone trivia game, specifically only for book one. And I'll tell you what, from playing this game before, there's some deep cuts in some of these questions. Like, some of them, I was like, whoa, I never would have thought of that. So these are going to be some challenging Sorcerer's Stone book one specific questions from, I believe, 2001.
Oh my god, I am so tired. It's Sunday evening. I'm going to look like I have never read this book, probably.
I mean, I answered like 50% of the questions that...
Oh no!
There are some deep cuts in some of these questions. So each of the cards has 5 questions on it.
Okay.
I'm just going to pick out the question on the card that I think is the best. And I'll ask you 10 questions.
Okay. Listeners, if you would like to answer the questions alongside me, please keep tally of how many questions you got right and let us know afterwards.
Yes.
I would be really curious to see how many of you get it right. I have a feeling some of them are very tricky.
Oh, yes. First question. What tool is used to measure students for their wands?
Doesn't he use a usual measuring tape?
Yeah, a measuring tape. That's what I would call it.
Yeah.
It says it's technically an enchanted measuring tape, but yes, correct.
I got a point.
You got a point. What is unusual about the way in which Albus Dumbledore asks everyone to sing the school song at the start of the term banquet? Is it A, he asks everyone to make up his or her own lyrics? B, he asks everyone to sing to his or her own favorite tune? Or C, he asks everyone to sing in Latin?
No, it's their own tune that they choose.
Yes, correct. When visiting Diagon Alley, what do Hagrid and Harry buy immediately after they finish their ice cream? A, parchment and quills. B, books. Or C, more ice cream?
Oh, I have to guess on this one. Is it the books?
Nope, it was parchment and quills.
Ah, okay. That is a tricky question.
I tell you, some of these are like pretty deep cuts. Okay, question 4. What is Dudley Dursley's favorite sport? Is it football, cricket, or hairy hunting?
Definitely hairy hunting, but I think it's football.
You think it's football?
Yes.
It's hairy hunting.
Hairy hunting, okay.
Yes.
Does that count because I said it first?
I
said it's definitely hairy hunting, but do I get a half point?
We'll do half points. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Oh, this is a hard one. What substance were the platform numbers at King's Cross Station made from? Brass, plastic, or stone?
Brass?
It is plastic.
What a question.
Deep cuts here, friends. This is specific to the book one.
Wow.
I'm not even making these up. I'm just like picking these off of cards. I didn't make any of these questions up. Okay, let's see. What special treat does Rubius Hagrid feed Norbert when he is 3 weeks old? Is it cats, rats, or bats?
Bats.
It was rats.
It was rats.
It was rats. As a follow-up to that one, what color are Norbert's eyes? Are they sapphire, orange, or emerald green?
Oh my god. Is anyone out there able to answer that?
Probably not.
I say emerald green.
It is orange. How many times does Harry visit the Mirror of Erised? Is it 4, 2, or 6?
I am between 4 and 6. It's 5.
not an answer.
4?
Yes, it was 4.
2 more, right?
Yep.
How long has Rubeus Hagrid had the desire to own a dragon? Since he was a child? After reading about them in the library at Hogwarts? Or since he met a mysterious stranger at the pub?
Since he was a child.
That was correct, yep.
When Harry first meets Draco Malfoy in Diagon Alley, where is Malfoy's mother? Is it at home, looking for wands, or in the beauty parlor?
I think she's looking for wands. She's definitely getting something for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the wands.
I think it's wands. That is correct.
Yes.
So, my counting, I have 5.5 correct, 4.5 wrong.
Yes.
You just breached the winning side of things by 1.5 points.
Oh my god, some of them are such tiny detail.
They made, I don't know how many questions this actually is, but there are at least like 500 questions in this.
It's like Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, but that is about the movies and not the books. That's why it's like very different. That this is specifically about the books, I think is really great. But those are really some very difficult questions. You clearly have to read in every tiny detail. You can't get everything right, I guess. Okay, I think I can live with having gotten 5.5 points.
It's pretty challenging.
Let us know how you did.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
That was fun. Thanks.
Yeah, I saw this on my shelf and I said, ooh, that'd be a fun game to play, actually.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, well, listeners, let's send the episode over to Buttercup for this week's Buttercup's question, then.
Oh, hello there. Excuse me. Just a moment. No. Give me my shoe back. Okay, one question. No, I have 2 questions for you this week. 1, how many questions did you get right in the test? Did you pass it? And also, if you have any more additional thoughts on the upcoming TV show, please send them in to us. And now, have a happy holiday, and I am back on mine, in the jungle, fighting for my shoes! No, not again!
And welcome back, listeners. Here we are, at the end of the episode. All good things come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back for more episodes soon. But if you would like to get in contact with us over here at PuffCast, you can listen to us on all platforms where pods are cast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffCastPod, and also on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast. You can send us an email with all your hot takes about the Harry Potter TV show to PuffCastPod@gmail.com. And you can also help us support charities like the Zebra Coalition and all the other lovely charities we have supported this week, including the Salal, which was formerly WAVAW Rape Crisis Center, by helping us out and joining our Patreon at patreon.com/PuffCast. For as little as $2 a month, and also comes with bloopers and extra bonus content along with that. So patreon.com/puffcast, and thank you to all of our listeners who are already patrons. We love you very much.
Thank you.
Yay! And if you would like to do us a solid, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, and read it here. If you do so, you can get a sticker. Yay! Stickers! Until next time, stay puffy!
And enjoy your summer holiday, because this is actually the episode before our summer holiday, Juliana. I think we forgot that for a moment. We will be on a little break because Melanie needs an editing break. Also, she's going to Spain.
And Juliana will be in Chicago.
Exactly. Juliana is off doing fun things. And me too. We will see you in a couple of weeks and hope you enjoy a summer vacation yourself.
I think our next episode is going to be the one with me, Wally, and James, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
Look forward to that. And if you get to see it live, hello from the past and the future, whenever you listen to this.
And then, after that, we will badger on together.
Yes, we shall.